throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM. The Sports Animal, glad to have you along for the next hour. Jared, isn't it funny how things work? All of a sudden, there's a whole bunch, and I mean, I'm not talking about fans. I'm talking about like writers and reporters of college football. There's a whole bunch of those up in arms about the portal. Wonder why. I wonder why you see some of these people that have never had a problem with the transfer portal whatsoever. All of a sudden, here in the last week or so, say it's not fair and it needs to be changed. I wonder why that is the case. I have a theory that I'll see if you buy into a little bit. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. What the hell is going on in Dallas? Why are we surprised, though?
I was going to say, why are we surprised?
What do you expect to see in each of the playoff games coming up this weekend? Who is a player? Here's a cool question. Who's a player that people don't really know? You know, I mean, the diehard NFL does, but, you know, the folks that don't really know, who's a player they will be well aware of by the time we roll in on Monday? Big 12 basketball last night, some interesting results.
Some interesting post-game antics, too.
Oh, I don't know that antics is the right word. I don't think that antics is the right word. I think it's a little bit more of this. I mean, why in the world? I've got to find that audio, but why even do that? All Rodney Terry did is make his, the rest of his season worse.
I mean, it's already
why doesn't
bad.
Texas understand that? It's the least offensive thing you could possibly do. The horns, who cares? Man, they care. And that just fuels the fire for the other fan bases.
Would it be better if it was a double bird?
Yeah.
Come on.
It feels like it would be for those folks. Please give me the double bird instead of the horns down. Yeah. That's just, I don't get it. Sooners looked awful for about a half, and then they ended up pulling away and winning against West Virginia. Big 12, though, it's basically a fist fight every night, especially when you go on the road. Also, high school basketball tournaments, West Central picking back up today, and then everybody else really getting started today all around the state of Oklahoma. We'll tell you where we'll be, who will be playing right here at the top. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, you can stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app has it all. Radio, Penny News. Brand new edition of that Penny News is out. Go pick up a free copy of the Penny News wherever your local kind of newsstand is. Big Elk and Paragon TV on the air essentially all day today, right?
You got a list? Everyone's somewhere. I know,
Well, you can look at Paragon TV.
Need the schedule there, yeah.
Paragon TV's got the schedule. I've got all the brackets right here in my hands. But I'm sure Merritt's Bi-County out there, I'm sure they're doing what they did for the Merritt Classic. So all those games, 10 o'clock is the first one with Ceiling. Lady Cats getting going, so. Just wall-to-wall basketball for the next 3 days on Big Elk and Paragon TV. And, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can check us out wherever podcasts drop. How are you today?
I'm good. Real good. How are you doing?
Ready to hit the road to Washington.
Yeah. What time are you out of here?
Pretty well right after this. As soon as the show is over, maybe 10:30. for the 155. I've got the reverse today with the way the brackets are. Boys first, girls second.
Okay.
I'm interested to see North Rock Creek.
Yeah.
North Rock Creek, 4A, number two on the boys' side. When you look at their roster and you look at the sizes, not really comparable to what we see from Weatherford. But, you know, that doesn't, you know, that just is what it is. Nobody's got that. But I'm interested to see them and what I come away thinking about them as far as a 4A state championship contender with Weatherford and whoever else you're going to want to throw in that mix. And then on the girls' side, a win today for the Elkettes to put them up against 3A number one Washington. You know, we'd really 3A is that kind of middle ground, right, where we don't really have anybody of local interest in 3A.
No, not out here.
I mean, where do you go? Alva?
I think Alva would be one of the closest. Frederick is 3A.
I don't think so.
I think they jumped up to 3A.
Oh, in hoops?
I think. But, no, there's a – as far as – no, we don't have a lot of local 3A teams out here. So that would be interesting. I'm interested in the North Rock Creek thing, too, because all year long, or even before the season started, even as soon as the game was over last year, everybody talked about Weatherford, Douglas, Douglas, Weatherford. Well, here's this North Rock Creek team that's just creeping up to the top two. So, me too. I'm kind of interested to see what they're all about.
Yeah, just get an idea of what that could
– yeah.
How much of a threat that they might be to the Weatherford Eagles. I mean, you never know until you see a game played out. But, I mean, the matchups, we all know what Weatherford's got. Mm-hmm. Size-wise and skill and all that. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. And quite frankly, a bunch of teams also in this tournament that you might end up seeing. You know, the Cat. I mean, obviously we got Cash on the schedule, but Cash, Sulphur, Broken, or probably not Broken Bow, but Tecumseh. Those are teams that you might be able to, you might run into in regional tournaments down the road. You know, especially after the first round of regionals, that could be matchups that with seasons on the line. And then also, I don't know that I'm stepping on anybody's toes here to say this, but what I think a bunch of people would probably consider the best Big Elk of all time on the basketball floor, 1K Davis. Do we think that's fair?
Yeah.
Definitely up there.
Yeah.
His Cassidy team is in this tournament as well.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So we might, that could be a possibility later on down the line. Maybe see a match up there with former Big Elk on the sidelines against the Big Elks. You never know. His team's 6-7. He gets second or third year to head coach at Cassidy.
Man, I thought last I heard he was on the Porter Mosier staff.
He went from an OU and then took the job at Cassidy. I think last year was his first year. But we know the way time flies, it could have been 2 years. This could be his third year.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So that could be fun. A little sidebar to it.
That's
so
pretty cool. I didn't know that. That's neat.
That's the Rocky Clark Invitational at Washington. Cool gym.
Yeah, I'm envious.
It's a nice place. And
I mean, not that I've never been there. That's why I'm envious. I'm at a nice gym myself, but you know what I mean. Anyways.
Yeah, different styles for sure between that and the Pioneer.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like the Pioneer Center here. It's not as big.
Yeah.
And it gets, man, it gets loud in there.
Well,
it gets loud in there to me. You know how some do and some don't? Mm-hmm. It seems like a few people make a lot of noise in that gym, the way it's set up. And it's an easy setup. Isn't that always nice when it's just a simple setup for us?
Oh, of course.
To bang, 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 and we're done.
I'm still trying to figure out the easiest way to set up. It's still a mystery to me.
I've got I've got everybody's roster already. Shout out to Mr. Newby at Washington. I've got the password to the Wi-Fi. I mean, this seems like it ought to be a breeze.
Don't you love that? That's awesome.
I'm positive that you know that I've taken a turn here since the Christmas break.
Like,
I'm just going to be positive about it.
Well, that's good. You love it when everything comes together like that.
I was texted a couple times Friday night about how positive I was complimenting the officials on their great calls.
Okay.
That
cool.
too. No, that just all goes right. into it. Okay, Sam, I said big elk, not elkette. Yeah, Keitha was good. There's no doubt about that. She was also a girl.
Yeah,
she was on the girls' team. I'm talking about big
girls.
Elks.
Yeah.
Big elks. Yeah, Keitha was awesome. Absolutely awesome. She might be the best basketball player of all time at Elk City. I was talking about big elks, which
right.
boys.
Boys, yeah.
Anyhow, I'm interested in a lot of these tournaments.
Yeah, obviously the Bi-County is going to take our attention.
The Bi-County statewide, I think, is the headline maker, right? Out at Merritt?
Yeah,
with
there's
the possibility
with
of some
small schools. Yeah, I think that's one of the best ones in the state, involving small schools and, of course, local schools. I was hearing Mark talk about some larger tournaments.
I shot a text to him about the Bi-County.
Oh,
he never mentioned it. At least when I was listening.
Yeah, it's around the 1 o'clock hour, I think. And he mentioned a really good one in Shawnee with a lot of the larger schools. Mm-hmm. But small school wise, I can't think of one better. As far as every game after maybe the opening round is going to be really competitive.
I think you're going to have a hard time finding any tournament that has three top five teams in their respective classes, or small.
Yeah, good
schools.
Luck. Yeah, you're not going to find it. Yeah,
and that's what's happening out there at Merritt today. Girls wise, you've got Class A number one Sealing, defending state champ, two-time defending state champ for them. Class B number three Hammond. You know, that's another defending state champ. And then, of course, the Merritt Oilerettes, 2A number four. Bertha Frank Teague, third place. We talked to Coach Doherty a couple weeks ago. You know, they're 14-1. And then Texoma is ranked 13th in Class A. And then the Young Cheyenne team. You know, that's a – you're right. I mean, the problem with having such high quality at the top is today could be kind of meh. Just because those teams are so good, it's hard for a lot to compete. Now, starting tomorrow, watch out.
Right.
But I do think, for me, the game of the day out there, girls-wise, is going to be Cheyenne and Texoma.
Yeah.
Texoma's number 13 in Class A, 11-2, and then that Young Cheyenne team. Boys' side, there's four ranked teams there as well. Did you notice who snuck in?
Hammond boys.
Hammond
got ranked, yes.
They sure did.
Deservedly so.
I could not agree more. But, you know, Laverne and Merritt, that's a really good boys game for a first round, a 4-5 match. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Duke and Hammond, you know, we talked about when we saw this bracket, you know, I'm sure it's seeded before Hammond kind of started to take off a little bit on the boys' side.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's a good litmus test for the Warriors to kind of get an idea of how much they've improved, right? You know, they won some games, played Sentinel incredibly tough, almost handing them their first loss. And then maybe just a tick of a step back against Sealing last Friday. You know, that's a tough matchup with the Class A number eight, you know. But here they go again with number two Duke, undefeated Duke Tigers. First rattle out of the box today. So there's some really good matchups, I think, in that Bi-County. And more coming as we get past this first round.
Right. No, I'm going to have my eye on that one all weekend long. All week, you know, even though I'll be busy, but I'm sure you will too. Really interested to see some outcomes on that one and how they happen, you know. Not just like, okay, who won? Just how did they win? How did this team handle the other team? Because that gives you a good idea when we see them in the big house. Like, okay, I remember when they played that team. And fortunately, we can go back and watch them too if we're not able to watch them live.
Hammond, just breaking news that I got texted, and this guy would absolutely know. Hammond may have lost a starter Tuesday night to a broken hand on the boys' side.
Oh, darn it.
So that kind of stinks. Right here, just you hope maybe that can heal fast enough to be able to make it back for the playoffs. So you got the Bi-County there. The Tri-County, got a little text about it. I've actually got the old bracket right here. I was just talking to Lake. He stopped by to get some stuff to take down for the Leedy broadcast. Talking to him about what's coming up here down in Altus, the Tri-County at Western Oklahoma State College. It's a good one, too. Girls, Class B, number eight, Arnett is the top seed. They're 14-2. Navajo, Class A, number 18. They're 12-5. I would put it looks like they'd probably be the two seed, and Leedy would be the three. Class B, number 13, Leedy. Arnett's had their number so far. in a couple of different times, including the Oil Center Classic final a couple weeks ago. So that's another potential matchup we might see. Another team that's pretty good and has fallen out of the 2A rankings, Hobart, at 10-4. So, you know, tomorrow you could have Arnett Hobart leading Navajo. That's a pretty good mix. Hollis there as well, as far as Paragon TV goes. All these Paragon TV, listen, just go to ParagonTV.com and look at the schedule. It's easier for you to do that than try to write it down as I say it. We'll try to recap it at the end, but Paragon TV, Candace has done a great job, has all the times, who the teams are playing, where, that's all there. And then the boys, kind of missing the middle, probably. That Frederick team you talked about, I would assume they're pretty athletic. I saw them last year at Altus. Seemed like they had some really good athletes on that squad. 9-3 in Class 3A. But I think most, if you look at it, see if you can't get a Saturday night Leedy-Hobart game. Class B number 5 against 2A number 7.
I'm trying to think who I saw Frederick play. I think it was Gracemont. And that wasn't going to
tell you much.
Anything. But they do have athletes. They year in, year out, they have athletes.
I remember last year, the Elks played them at Altus.
Yeah.
And I kind of took I looked down maybe to see if I was blinking, you know, with the internet connection.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And before I knew it, the crowd was going crazy, and I by instinct hit the replay button to see what had happened. And it was a dude that just spun, drop-stepped, and dunked it. Just went, whoa.
I believe it.
I can't believe I missed that.
Yeah.
But Tri-County and Altus getting going today there at Western Oklahoma State College. And, of course, the West Central picks back up. I did not print that bracket off, but I know who plays. Is it girls? It's girls today, right?
It is girls consolation.
That's right.
Boys semifinals. And the girls, Hydro Weekly burns flat at 4:30 in the first consolation. And then it'll go to the first boys semifinal. That'll involve the Canute Trojans, ranked 12th in Class A, going up against the third ranked Sentinel Bulldogs, undefeated in Class A. And a rematch where a game that was played like the second game of the year for both teams, and it went to overtime way back in November. So that one, we'll see what happens there. We'll see if, you know, Sentinel's rolling, and I mean, Canute has been pretty good. I'm anxious to see what that one looks like. And then the second consolation semifinal, Calumet Girls and Corn Bible Academy. And then the final boys semifinals, Calumet and Arapahoe-Butler. The Canute game, Arapahoe-Butler game, you can catch both those games on Paragon TV.
Yeah, what, 5:40 and
5:45, the Canute boys, first semifinal, then the nightcaps at 8:15. So if it's on time. They've been pretty on time over there. So we'll do about a 5:30, 5:25 pregame for the Canute game, and then Luke will take it over for the Arapahoe-Butler game at 8:15.
Yeah, that's the thing about if you give an hour and a half, normally you can stay on time.
It's been on time. And then, well, I say they're on time that first round because there were some pretty lopsided scores that were, you know, they were just kind of running the clock and being generous when the whistle stopped.
But, I mean, when you think about a normal Tuesday, they give an hour and a half, 6:30 to 8. I bet you start before 8 o'clock every time.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah.
Me, on the other hand, probably not. But you guys always. I mean, I know that I get so jealous.
It just feels like the small game just goes a lot quicker.
It does.
Smaller schools.
I know that I always, the first time I get jealous of all you guys in the small school ranks is when there's about, I don't know, 6 minutes left in the first quarter clock of the Elk City boys game, and y'all are texting me halftime scores. That happens every it's like the girls' games seem like I'm not that far behind, and then all of a sudden – it's like, man, we just tipped off. How are you at halftime?
There's been times when I've had home games, and granted, I live right down the road from the gym, but where I've been done, broke down, go home, get something to eat, sit down in my chair, and I'll turn on your about midway through the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
There's been times like that.
A bunch of them.
Yeah.
Basically every Tuesday or Friday.
Yeah.
The other tournament that has a Paragon TV team in it is over at Cordell. The Eric boys are the number one seed, 11-7. They take on Olustee El Dorado, 5:15 today. And then immediately following that one, the Eric Lady Bearcats against Geary at 6:30. So those are the tournaments involving the Paragon TV schools and the Big Elks and Elkettes as well. Schedule is on Paragon TV for everybody Big Elks and Elkettes will play today. Like I mentioned, the Elks against North Rock Creek, that's a 1:55 scheduled time. And then the Elkettes immediately following that one, I think 3:10 is what the schedule says, or 3:15 against Broken Bow. So first round action at the tournament in Washington.
Broken Bow.
That's a long.
Yeah.
It's a pretty long trip.
That's a trip for them.
Probably about like us, really. Maybe a little further to Broken Bow.
It might be a little farther.
A little further, but still.
Like,
I mean, I got
like an hour farther.
I got over 2 hours here, there, fella.
To Washington?
Yeah.
Isn't it just around Norman?
2 hours and 5 minutes is what it says.
Okay. Well, now I'm curious. Now I got to look up.
It's
see
straight
how far
down I-35.
Broken Bow is.
Broken Bow is probably 2.5, depending on how you could get there.
Go ahead and Google it up. All right. Washington.
Because it's about 4.5 hours to Broken Bow. I've done that drive a few times.
Yeah, I've done it. It's fun. It's pretty. Okay. And Broken Bow, what do you think? Here we go.
I'm going to say 2:37.
3.5.
Oh, my gosh.
3:25.
That's the closest route?
That's the closest route. The next closest is right under 4 hours.
Where do they go?
From Broken Bow to Washington, they're going through Rattan and Antlers, Atoka, Colgate, Stonewall. Then they go through Ada, and then they head over straight west to hit up, you know, up Purcell, and then yeah. And then that next route is just straight west through
Durant and Hugo and all that,
and then I-35 at Ardmore and straight up north.
When I first thought about it, that's where I figured they would go.
Now that's actually another 30 minutes. So, and that's the route I actually took when we went down there. That first route.
Actually, Indian Nation.
I lie.
Indian Nation Turnpike. Shawnee. Did you get on the Indian Nation Turnpike?
I don't know. Maybe. Is that, I don't know.
It's out there somewhere.
Michael, that's one of the, yeah, it's.
I played a golf tournament down there. It was actually at Ida Bell, but stayed in Broken Bow.
You didn't stay in Hochatown?
No, stayed at the Bond residence. Playing with Mike, with Bondo.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
Bondo, he was at Southwestern then. He's now the women's golf coach at UCO.
It's been 4 years since I've been down there. I need to return.
El Bondo.
I need to return to Hochatown.
It was fun. It was a fun trip.
Hochatown, when I went, it reminded me of the movie The Great Outdoors. Of the scenery and all the...
Faster.
Yeah, it reminded me of all that. And you know what got into the trash? The raccoons did. I thought I was smart, and I thought, I'll just wrap it up.
Did you have lobster tails on the grill?
No.
Throw another shrimp on the barbie.
Well, here's the bad thing. I threw it in the back of my truck.
Oh, no.
And it was all open in the back of my truck, and you could see little palms on my truck that they had gotten the coffee grounds and stuff.
What was that, the old 96er? Was that the steak?
Yes.
Roman was decked. What was his? Chet. How could we forget Chet?
That's a great movie. That's a great, every time that music would play when those raccoons would come out. And you know what those hot dogs are made out of.
Yeah, the raccoons always have some pretty spicy conversations.
That's a great movie. Yeah, Broken Bow has a trip for him. That's all right. That's cool.
66 times in the head. I wonder what would happen if somebody really got struck by lightning 66 times.
I think you'd only take one time to find out what would happen.
Well, you hear people surviving lightning strikes.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you survived 66 of them.
We're going off the rails here. Have you seen this? This is a classic news report where someone was doing it was a local TV station. And they're doing a feature of this lady who got struck by lightning and she was recovering from it. And they went to interview her and the video glitched right when she started talking.
It was like,
and she was going, da-da-da-da-da-da. They had to cut away from her and they're trying so hard not to crack up. Oh, it was so funny.
I wonder if somebody sabotaged that on purpose.
I don't know.
Just to be funny.
But it was back like analog, so they had like tape and you could tell that it was not, it was just glitching. It's so good. And the look on the anchor's face, he was chuckling and he was saying, mm-hmm. It's like, well, that obviously had a technical issue. She doesn't really sound like that.
Those little two redheaded twins of Romans were weirdos.
Yeah, they were.
They were really good at that part.
Almost scarier than the Shining kids. Those, you know, come play with us, Danny. They're almost scarier than those kids.
Man, there's so many things we can't say. There's so many lines from that movie we can't fire out there.
Now, a lot of great tournaments, and, you know, the Broken Bow is a perfect example. You get to see some teams that usually don't. And when they come that far, pretty cool. Like Cordell, they got Billings coming all the way down.
Yeah, I wonder what the connection from Broken Bow is to Washington.
Don't know.
Man, I can't get the Great Outdoors out of my head.
Yeah.
That's really all I want to talk about now. It's the Great Outdoors. Rest in peace, John Candy. Gone too soon.
What a great actor.
You remember the story about Joe Montana?
Yeah.
And the Super Bowl against the Bengals. What would that have been about? Super Bowl 22? Maybe 23? See, it went Bears and 20. Bears were 20. Is it the Giants the next year? Anyway.
Efforting.
23, yeah, because it would have been Bears, Giants, Redskins, then the Niners. So 20, 21, 22, yeah, that's right. And how he was looking all the way, the 90-whatever yards in the back of the other end zone that he would lead down the field, that iconic pass to John Taylor to beat the Bengals, and how as they huddled up, he looked down the other end. He said, oh, looky there. There's John Candy.
Yeah. Kind of calmed everybody down.
Yeah. That's why they called him Joe Cool. All right, Jared. What's going to happen in these games this weekend in the NFL playoffs?
Well, I'm assuming we'll pick them tomorrow. But I'm going to show my hand a little bit, at least on one of them. I think in Detroit we're going to get a competitive game. I think we'll see a competitive game going all the way down the wire. I think in Baltimore we're going to see a blowout.
I'm the opposite.
You don't think so?
I'm the exact opposite on those particular two.
Okay. We're going to see snow in Buffalo, and the best game of the weekend while we're at it. I think that's pretty clear. And then San Francisco, I'm not ready to jump on this 49ers. They're the one seed. They should easily win bandwagon just yet.
Darn it.
Maybe because of how easy Green Bay made it look in Dallas, and I don't know if that was an indication of Dallas was ill-prepared, didn't match up well with them, or if it was an indication of Green Bay might be pretty dang good. And they were kind of rolling, or were rolling, are rolling. But they were rolling before they came into that game. So I don't think it is much of the Dallas side of things. I think Green Bay is actually really good. So I would not be shocked if we saw somewhat of an upset in San Francisco.
Whoa. What?
Yeah.
Green Bay winning that game?
I wouldn't be shocked.
See, that's the one that I can't decide what I think will happen in San Francisco, because I don't know how much it was Green Bay and how much it was dumb Dallas.
Right, yeah.
I just don't know. I mean, yes, the Packers looked awesome. But is it because the Cowboys let them? You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not locking in any official picks here with this stuff. I'm going to sleep on it one more time, and then we'll come in tomorrow and we'll make our picks. But I still have to try to figure that out. And I almost spoke it into existence of with Green Bay. It felt like they had turned a corner in their season before that Dallas game. It wasn't like they came in and shocked the world by beating Dallas. I think they came in as a formidable opponent. But I think there is a little bit of part of it, too, that Dallas just was – they looked ill-prepared, not inspired, not tough, all that stuff we've talked about. So I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what version of Green Bay did we get there? And if it's the one that is the good Green Bay that – that I think that they are. I just wouldn't be – I don't think they're going to go into San Francisco thinking, well, it was a great year. I think they're going to go take a fight to them. I'm not picking right now. I'm just – I wouldn't be shocked at an upset.
Yeah, that would be the biggest surprise to me of the whole weekend.
100% it would be. Me too.
It would be the biggest – I mean, just because of San Fran's history.
Yeah.
No, the Ravens have been rolling, right? I mean, Lamar is going to be the MVP. They've been really, really good. But I saw the stat yesterday. Lamar Jackson has the fifth largest difference, and it's a negative difference, from regular season passer rating to playoff.
Postseason. He does kind of – it dips a little bit, doesn't it? Not just a little bit.
Fifth most.
Yeah.
And he's also 0-2.
Well, that's how the Titans beat him a few years ago, right?
He's 0-2 as a home favorite in the playoffs in the divisional round, which is exactly what they are, 9.5 points. Favorite over the Texans. And C.J. Stroud, on the other hand, is 6-1 against the spread in his last seven as the underdog. By the number, when I say number, obviously I mean the betting lines. Yeah, the game in Buffalo is obviously the best one. They're the most competitive one. With Chiefs and Bills, the Bills are a 2.5-point favorite. Everything else is out near a touchdown or above. 6.5 in Detroit with the Lions favorite over the Bucks, and then 9.5 in the other two with the one seeds, Ravens, Texans, and 49ers, Packers. Yeah, Scott on the text line, probably a little bit of both. That's probably right as far as what Green Bay and Dallas. I mean, how much was Green Bay, how much Dallas? Was kind of contributing to what we saw down in Jerry World.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is the round. You know, the first round, there's sometimes upsets, sometimes not. The divisional round, it always seems like we end up with three meh and one really good one. And especially, no 7 seed had ever won until Green Bay beat Dallas the other day. It's only been a few years, since 2020, that the playoffs expanded, and that was the first time that a 7 seed. But even then, you know, a 4 or a 5 or a 6. But then they have to play the team that's the best, and that normally doesn't end up well. And then next week is when we can get just all timers, and Super Bowl gives you some and doesn't give you some. But I have a feeling that we're going to see a really good one in Buffalo, and the others are going to be maybe competitive for a few quarters, but the result is never going to be in doubt. Does that make sense? You know, 10, mm-hmm. 10-point games or 14-point games that one team, you know, kicks a field goal to make it a 3-score game or what, or maybe it's a 10-point game and the team scores a touchdown to slam the door. I don't have enough faith, and a big part of it is the youth of the quarterbacks going into the one seeds with Jordan Love and Stroud. Yeah. I mean, listen, they're not going to approach this from their mental makeup as icing on the cake, but the truth of it is it is icing on the cake, and that goes for Baker Mayfield too. No one's gonna. I shouldn't say no one, because there will be one person that will tear him to shreds if he doesn't play well on Sunday.
Tear him to shreds if he does play well.
Yeah, that's true too. But the point being, everyone else, I mean, the Buccaneers season has already been a roaring success. Baker Mayfield's season has already been a roaring success, just like the other two with Jordan Love. The difference being, the Packers and Texans are a little bit young. I mean, even younger. And so this seems like the building blocks to something. Whereas with the Bucks and with Baker, this seems like an extension of his career, mm-hmm. instead of like the taking off or the launch pad part, to where he introduces himself to the whole world like those other two did last week. So that brings me to my next question. I think there was a bunch of people that have heard of Jordan Love because he was drafted in the spot he was drafted in with Aaron Rodgers still rolling as the quarterback. I think a lot of people have heard of C.J. Stroud.
Same situation when they – yeah.
Sure.
They knew this is going to be the heir apparent. We know this guy.
And, yeah. But that's how they know him. They don't know him from what he's done on the field.
Right.
C.J. Stroud in a lot the same way. They know him because he played at Ohio State and he was the second pick in the draft, but they hadn't really seen him play. And then all of a sudden you watch those guys last week and you're like, whoa. I mean, I've been on the C.J. Stroud bandwagon the whole season, and it, even dating back to the draft. But then even – I mean, he was just awesome. Who was going to be that player this week? Who's going to be the player that people kind of know, don't really know, that by Monday – the whole nation is going to be talking about.
I'll go to Detroit. Everybody knows Jared Goff and what he does. I will go with...
No way.
What?
Go ahead. Who are you going to say?
David Montgomery.
Oh, nope. No, we have a different guy.
Okay. I thought there was breaking news or something. Not David Montgomery. I think he will have a day against a pretty good rush defense in Tampa Bay. And then that will, you know, he's kind of a guy that is a nice compliment to Jared Goff. I think he'll have a, you know, 100 plus yards, couple touchdowns, and people go, oh man, David Montgomery's the guy. You know, we all know about him. We knew him at Iowa State. We know who he is and all that stuff, but he's just been a nice running back. I think this is a game where he becomes kind of, oh, that, remember that game? David Montgomery took it over. So kind of a shoot from the hip pick, but that's mine right there. I didn't realize how good Tampa Bay's defense was, running rush defense was. Mm-hmm. Top four, I think.
Well, Vita Vea can kind of do it all by himself.
Yeah.
That dude is a load.
So I say that. I mean, I was reluctant to put him there because that was my first name that came to my mind. And then I looked up Tampa Bay's rush defense. I saw what that was, and I was like, no, I'll stick with it because I think if he goes and he shreds that Tampa Bay rush defense, that's even more reason to name that the Montgomery game. Remember that Montgomery game where he had a day? That's who I'll go with. How about you?
Okay, so mine with the names that we're getting on the text line, there's Sam Laporta, Josh Reynolds. Maybe my guy is too well-known.
Who's that?
Maybe people know him too well for him to fit in this category. I was going to say Amon-Ra St. Brown. Do we think people really
know
him?
I almost did that. I went to Detroit first because I think when people think of star power, there's only like one guy on that team, and Jared Goff.
Yeah, and he's not real.
Not real. Yeah, this is just a collective team. So that's why I went to Detroit. It's like, find the guy that's going to elevate them into the championship game. So maybe, and I almost went to that guy too. That's
maybe
funny.
Amon-Ra is too known in the fantasy world. You know what I'm because he's just been a fantasy monster for 2 years. So maybe he's too too high profile. But is anybody in Detroit really high profile? That's what I mean about like Jared Goff. How many casual? I'm not talking about the people that watch it every week.
Yeah.
We all know all these guys, but the casual fan. How many of them knew before? Like for instance, Jared Goff. How many casual NFL fans didn't realize until Saturday night or Sunday night that those two quarterbacks were they going? Hey, wait a minute! Did they go to the wrong locker room? Why do they have those jerseys on?
I think even the casual fan just.
Because
Stafford the guy they traded away to get Stafford. That's the guy that they traded away. That guy.
Or
but,
what?
You know, he's always going to be attached to Stafford. But
are they literally saying, oh, yeah, that guy. I forgot his name.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because Detroit has been so bad.
Right.
You know, let's be honest. For people in Oklahoma, the Texas Panhandle, I don't know that there's a ton of Detroit Lion fans running around, okay?
Oh, just wait.
But here's the deal. But because they have been so bad, you've only seen them once a year for a decade and a half or two decades. And that was on Thanksgiving.
Right.
And that was the game you take a nap after you ate lunch so that you can get ready for the Cowboys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's the word Detroit. That's why I say that. But I mean, I think that he has, and also I would go about that because I think that's the least competitive game where somebody's going to really be a star.
I'm opposite. I just don't.
I don't feel it.
Remember that bonus I talk about, like everything's a bonus, and I said that about Detroit? Well, same thing we just talked about Tampa Bay, too. I mean, it could be the most fun game with just letting it out all on the field. You know, Baker doing what he does, watching him bake. And you know what, Detroit, I mean, they have no qualms about going for it on fourth down when they should be kicking for three. Running trick plays, making guys eligible to be wide receivers, all that stuff. That comes from their attitude, their coach, a great coach. It could be the funnest game of the weekend.
So Detroit beat Tampa 20-6 back in week six. Goff threw for 350, two touchdowns, no picks. Baker threw for 200, threw an interception, no touchdowns. Neither team ran it. 46 yards rushing for Tampa, 40 for Detroit. Yeah. But there's my guy. 12 for 124 and a touchdown for Amon-Ra. And, oh, by the way, Detroit had a bunch of guys out that day. Mm. So, AJ asked, how much is it going to cost me to watch football this weekend? Nothing. It's all on Real TV.
Cost me $6 last week. No big deal.
Oh, here you go. I'm the casual fan. Only watch playoffs. You're right. I don't have a clue who that Amon-Ra St. Brown is. So maybe it does work.
Is that my wife?
Nope. It's not. What about Dan Campbell? Did you see what he's had to say about Baker? I thought that was pretty.
That was neat.
Outside of calling Mark Andrews Blake Andrews. I thought that was pretty good. Just how he was impressed with Baker in the draft process for kind of sacrificing his own chances or whatever to help out a teammate. That was nice. Yeah, Dan Campbell, he'd be hard not to play for.
Oh, he's a good, yeah.
Anybody else around the other few games that maybe becomes – here's another one. I've got another one, another game that could be easily won by one side. What about Brandon Ayuk? Everybody knows McCaffrey. Everybody knows who Purdy is. Everybody knows Kittle. Everybody knows Debo. But Brandon Ayuk has been really good for the San Francisco 49ers this year.
You know, I guess I'm casual. What position?
He's a receiver.
Okay. Yeah. I'm thinking I'm efforting some names from Kansas City.
Oh, any of the receivers, because nobody knows who the hell they are.
Yeah, that's true. Who's the dude who lined up offsides?
Kadarius Toney. Wasn't it him?
What if he comes
He didn't even play last week. I think he was hurt or sick or something. Or they just didn't want him screwing it up.
I think it'd be so funny if he makes a big play.
He made one of the biggest plays in the Super Bowl last year. Yeah. If you remember, that punt return that set up the last field goal.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
But, okay, we say all this, and we always – what? There's always games, certain games, any sport – like March Madness, there's always a star that kind of emerges. Or I've always said it in the OU-Texas game, like, who's that guy that we're not thinking about that's going to be the difference maker? This year is Nick Anderson. But in the playoffs, for me anyways, I've noticed that it's usually the big names that step up.
It is.
It's the stars that make big plays in the NFL playoffs.
But you also get, you know, Gabe Davis a couple of years ago for Buffalo in that classic against Kansas City. Here's a name that Dakota just – Rashee Rice. Some people know who that is, but not really. It could be him in Buffalo for Kansas City as that receiver that kind of makes plays. I'm excited to see. All right, on the text line, here's a question. This is a name that I haven't heard in years. But Scott says, there's always a Timmy Smith. Does anybody know who Timmy Smith was out there on the text line?
You got about like 5 minutes of text to tell
us. Yeah, does anybody know who that is? He holds a record, an all-time NFL record. Timmy Smith does, to this day. Set it like 35 years ago. Something like that. Redskins running back, there you go. You can always tell. Is this a way to out people's ages?
Yeah, because I had no clue.
A little bit. that's right. Redskins running back set the all-time yards rushing record in the Super Bowl with 204. back in Super Bowl 22. Didn't we decide 23 was the, yeah, Super Bowl 22, 204 yards. With the Skins beating the Broncos. What's going on in Dallas, Jared? I mean, like we said, there's no sense in being surprised. There's no sense in being mad. But what happened yesterday with Jerry Jones putting his confidence in Mike McCarthy to return as the Dallas head coach is, to me, the definition of insanity.
Well, yeah. Do the same thing over and over and expect different results.
So what can possibly be the reason why this decision was made?
Save money. I mean, got one more year on
save
the contract.
Money?
I'm just guessing. I don't know. I don't know why.
The Cowboys are worth $8 billion.
There's no rhyme or reason what Jerry Jones does except maybe senility. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not shocked. I wasn't shocked. I saw the news. I wanted to throw my phone against the wall, but then I thought, well, this is not shocking to me. He's going to do the same idiotic moves, and we're just stuck in football hell in Dallas.
Yeah, here's the
nothing
answer.
Nothing shocks me anymore.
The answer
Jerry
is
Jones.
Right here. It's to prove that Jerry wasn't wrong when he picked McCarthy. And 12-5, 3 years in a row, who gives a damn? And the deal is, okay, maybe they're moving Dak and he's going to groom Trey Lance. Okay, but here's the problem. Mike McCarthy had the same issue with one of the best quarterbacks of all time in Aaron Rodgers. How did he lead Aaron Rodgers to only one Super? Think about the screw-ups that Green Bay had in the playoffs under Mike McCarthy with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was just huge gaffes over and over with that guy. Much less Dak or much less Trey Lance or whoever else it could be. I mean, this is ridiculous. Here's another correct answer so that Jerry Jones can have a puppet as a coach. That's really the answer. Because here's what happened. One time since Dallas has been owned by Jerry Jones. Well, I guess it's actually two. One, he inherited one time he did it with his buddy and he got bucked and he bucked Jimmy Johnson off the Cowboys' horse after two Super Bowls. Because Jimmy was getting the credit as a football man. And that I think that is really the root cause of all this BS that's happened in Dallas since 1995. Jerry Jones has never gotten over the fact that Jimmy Johnson gets all the credit for building those Super Bowl winning teams. And that's what he has done for the last damn near 30 years is try to prove that he's as good a football man as Jimmy, and it's not even close. It's not even close. But he's never gotten over that. The only reason they won in 95 is because Jimmy built such a damn good team that it was still too good to screw it up. And free agency wasn't really a thing yet. For the most part, it was coming. It was right in the infancy stages. But back then, you draft these guys, you have them. And Jimmy did. And had them until, you know, then a couple years later, all of a sudden free agency and everything's, you know, much more easily broken up. But that is the root cause of all this crap, is that Jimmy Johnson gets the credit as the architect for Jerry Jones's Cowboys in their heyday. And rightfully so. And so when you see what we saw last night, we're running it back with Mike McCarthy, everybody texting in is exactly right. All that is a way for Jerry to control the coach and then be the puppet master for everything else. In the event, if the Cowboys luck out, everyone's going to point to Jerry as the reason. Because here's the thing. He set this up where He's got a coach nobody thinks can win. He's got a quarterback nobody thinks can win. And if somehow, miracle of God, it happens, he will be the only one, right? He'll be the only one that gets the credit because he's the only one that thought it was the right move to stick with him.
Right.
And we all know that ain't happening.
Nah.
And so all this is kicking the can down the road one more year. And then when McCarthy's contract expires after this year, either re-sign that puppet or go find a different one. Instead of Mike Vrabel, Bill freaking Belichick. But here's the deal. Those guys don't want any part of Jerry either.
No. Who is the offensive coordinator that's been getting some talk, getting some...
Which one? Ben Johnson?
There's a younger one.
Ben Johnson from Detroit.
Tell me Detroit. Yeah.
Ben Johnson,
tell me where he's from, yeah. That's the direction, in my opinion.
But they can't hire him.
No, but...
Because all Jerry will do is just puppet. That's the problem. The only guys that have enough cojones to buck Jerry would never hire anyway. Because of Jimmy, and then the other one that he actually tried it again was Parcells. And Jerry had no fun when Parcells was the coach because Parcells was running the thing, right?
Yeah.
And listen, as the owner, you can do whatever the hell you want to. You're the one that has the money. You can do whatever, right? But that doesn't mean that it's going to be successful. And then what happened last night? I mean, you're right. No one should be surprised whatsoever that Mike McCarthy's still the coach in Dallas. You could see it coming from a mile away.
Yeah. If he wasn't fired the next day, then he knew it was coming. And as soon as Monday came and went, we all knew. It's going to be much of the same in Dallas. So not shocking. Frustrating, absolutely. But I was it was annoying, is I guess the best way to describe it. When I saw that pop on my phone, I'm like, wow, this is annoying. But I'm not shocked by it. So,
well, it just next year it doesn't matter. Dallas could go 17-0, and there's not going to be a stitch of joy.
No,
because
I don't care what their season's going to be like. I'm going to pick against them in the playoffs. I'm already not going to pick them to win the East, mainly because history tells us.
There's no way they're winning the East because you don't do it two in a row.
Right.
You know what's going to happen? You want to know what's going to happen to the Dallas Cowboys? I'll tell you. I can tell you exactly what will happen.
They'll beat the bad teams and lose to the good ones?
They're going to go 12-5. They're going to not win the division. Somebody else will win the division just because the East is like that right now for 20-something years in a row since 2004, I guess. It'll be the 21st season next year. And then they're going to play. They might go beat a crappy NFC South team that wins that division like they did last year in the wild card round when they went down to Tampa and ended Tom Brady's career. But as soon as they play anybody with the pulse in the playoffs – they're going to get their head kicked in. Just like they did this year. Just like they did last year. Just like they did the year before. And as much as it just upsets you to see what happened with McCarthy, the truth of it is it's always the same. There's only one constant. There's only one constant, and that constant is Jerry Jones. Yeah, I got a text. I can tell you this is a great point. You know what is the most insane thing about all of this?
What's that?
Us idiots like me and you still being fans of the damn thing.
Oh, there's so many times, and I've never done this with any teams I've root for, but there's been so many times for the Dallas Cowboys I've considered just saying, forget it. I'm exhausted. tired of it. I've given you enough shots. I've given you enough chances, and you keep blowing it. Forget it. I'm just going to be the fan of the NFL. That's why I said yesterday, this is fun for me. Playoffs are fun for me now because I don't have to sit on the edge of my seat worried if my team's going to win or lose. Now I can just relax and watch four good games this weekend, which I'm used to doing as a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Yeah, here we go. We were born. That's right, born into it. What do you want?
That's a part of it. It's growing.
You know, Jim always says, "Thank goodness my dad was a Steelers fan and not a Cowboys fan."
Yeah, we grew up in this area. We grew up in the, or I did, in the 90s, and I thought the Dallas Cowboys in the 90s were gods because they won those Super Bowls and Troy Aikman and Emmitt and all them, and so yeah, you grow up with it.
Yeah.
But I can't think there's been no other sports franchise that I've rooted for that has disappointed me or broken my heart more than the Dallas Cowboys have. To the point I'm like, what? It's like a bad relationship. Like, why do I keep giving you a second chance? I'm tired of it.
Yeah, Jerry is Lucy and we're all Charlie Brown. Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, right, here's the deal. At least
I did have a starter jacket, AJ. I did. I had it all.
Here's the thing. At least you're born when you were. Think about if you were 30.
Yeah.
And been a Cowboys fan. You remember everything since you were 5 over the last 25 years? Ouch.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's true.
There's no good memories that you have.
You were told during story time of the days that once were many years ago.
Yeah, you might have. What do we do if Jerry lives to be 105? Oh, my gosh. Mm. Suffer? The answer is suffer. Anyhow, so that's the news of the day, I think, in a lot of ways, is that Mike McCarthy coming back to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. All right, Paragon TV all day long. We got hoops. Check out the schedule, ParagonTV.com. Big Elk TV, I'll be in Washington 2 o'clock. 1:55 is the actual scheduled start time for that one. The boys first, girls second. And then, man, everybody's everywhere. It's going to be awesome. Another great tournament week starts today.
Very important next 3 days.
For Class A and B.
Class A and B.
Last chance to put your best foot forward for the coaches that rank these teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, come Tuesday. We won't know Monday, but come Tuesday, we'll know who's locked into the top 8. And then by Friday, we'll know what the pairings are for the playoffs. Everybody have a great Thursday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.